Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
More pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome to a special edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg with head baseball coach Christian Ostrander, who graciously has agreed to join us for the full hour, and we're delighted to be bringing you this special edition of our program here right before we all take a break and go enjoy the Thanksgiving holidays. And, Coach, first of all, many, many thanks for you to come to the studio and spend this time with us.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you having me, and first time I've been in here, and you got a really nice place. So that's where all the magic happens, I guess.
Yes, sir. Well, it's certainly where we spend a lot of time, that's for sure. It's a great pleasure to have you for a full hour, and we'll obviously get around to talking about the baseball team, and we do a lot of that around here, don't we, Dima?
Well, it's nice to talk about winning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, Coach, I want to talk about you. I want you to let our listeners around the country and throughout the state know a little more about you that maybe they don't know. And let's go back to the beginning. When did Christian Ostrander first discover the game of baseball and realize that it's something that you liked very much?
Well, I can remember, you know, at obviously a young age, whether it's T-ball, I can remember those memories of playing that. And, you know, my mom and dad taking me to those things and all the way up to, I guess coach pitch. I don't know what they had after that. Little League. I look back on it and I feel like I was very lucky to always be around some decent baseball, maybe people that invested in you, coaches, obviously your parents did, but coaches, things like that. So, you know, didn't realize it at the time, but looking back on it now, all the way even up, just very lucky even through high school or whatever, just around some really good people that taught me a lot about baseball that I didn't realize at the time was happening. And my grandfather was another one, always encouraging me to throw and whatever, and just playing catch. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just kind of early on, I loved the game, always have loved it, and, you got a passion for it.
So you went through the whole thing, T-ball, coach pitch, Little League, just like every other kid.
No doubt, yeah, and all that was in Texas, and then my father got transferred to Syracuse, New York. I grew up in Texas, and when I was like, I don't know, what was it, 13 or 14 years old, graduated high school up there. My senior year, my dad got transferred back to Texas. So those 4 years up there in upstate New York, just very lucky that it was an area that had some good baseball, that had, like I said, whether it's good senior Babe Ruth leagues, whether it was good high school competition, relatively speaking, for up north, but and good coaches. So, it was kind of a crazy journey.
And then you end up at Delta State.
Well, I actually had a stop before that. I went so up there in, I guess, in 1991. I remember me and my father driving down south and doing a little tour. We knew I was coming. He was coming back. Their family's moving back south, and so I kind of looked at different places and so forth. Back then it's VHS tapes, it's newspaper clippings. That's all it was, and word of mouth. So I can remember going into some places. Sitting down and talking with the coaches at Delta State at the time, Bill Marchant. I remember going to Northwestern State, Louisiana, talking with Jim Wells, who was the head coach then, Hines Community College, Rick Clark, Meridian, Coach Palmer and Coach Barry. Remember that. And Northwest Community College, Jim Miles, and the one I didn't go to is the one I ended up at. So Mississippi Delta Community College is where I actually ended up, and it's a really crazy story. with that. A scout for the Chicago Cubs up in New York knew my intentions to get back south. He actually had a relationship with the head coach at Mississippi Delta through the minor leagues, Terry Thompson, and made a call, put in a good word for me. I get a call from Coach Thompson. He sends me newspapers, clippings, gives me a scholarship. Never seen Moorhead, Mississippi before. We said yes. And as you can imagine, the first time I did see Moorhead, Mississippi, I was in some kind of culture shock. But the good Lord had a plan. Met my wife there. You know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today without that decision.
That's a long way from Syracuse, New York, I'm sure.
Very, very long way. But I'm pretty simple. I love to hunt fish, you know. The Delta grew on me. Spent 2 years at Mississippi Delta, then 2 years at Delta State, and then obviously started coaching there at Delta State immediately after I got done playing.
Was your wife from the Delta coast?
She was from originally. She's from right on the border of South Carolina, North Carolina, not far from Conway, in that area. But her family, her father was a farmer. And worked with a seed company in Stoneville and outside of Leland.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's kind of made their path here. So I don't know if she claims that's where she's from, but that's what I remember from. So she's an old Delta girl. But no, it was really fond memories, you know, of my time there at Mississippi Delta and Delta State as a player. I really grew a lot. Yeah. And, you know, and things that I learned as a player at those places – you see it come now, you know, in your career, you know, just whatever. It's just crazy.
Small world, Coach. I've got a wife from Sunflower, which was right over from Moorhead, as you know. And we both lived for a long time in the Delta. My daughter played softball at Mississippi Delta Community College.
Well,
and you've heard this expression, go ahead, Moorhead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was we had a blast there. Our football team won the national championship my sophomore year, I think it was there. We won a state championship in baseball my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. Got to go back last year. Got to go speak at one of their fundraising events, and me and my wife did, and that was really special to go back. And not much has changed, but you know, but it was pretty cool to
it
go
hadn't
back.
Grown. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think so. But it was neat to get back.
You ever been to the Delta, Dema?
Well, my hunting camp was actually up in Greenwood, Mississippi. So when we used to go up to hunting camp, that's about as the Delta as I would get.
Ever fish those Delta lakes, Coach?
Absolutely.
Wonderful, aren't they?
Man, I tell you, it was, yes, it was a lot of fun wildlife experiences. And
yeah,
I
had
one of my roommates was it Slater, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And boy, we had some good experiences over there.
I get tickled around here when I hear people talk about big lakes like. You know, the lake down here between
Lake
here.
Serene, yeah.
And they, Coach, tell them what a big lake is. It's a delta lake, isn't it?
It's huge, yeah. I mean, it's you can't see the other side,
correct.
You know, for a lot of times. So
right.
It's different.
We want to talk a little more about it in the next segment. We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. But what you went from Mississippi Delta to Delta State. And having lived in the Delta for so long, I was a Delta State fan and still am to this day. I just don't think many people realize the history, the excellence of the Delta State baseball program.
No, it's a long lineage. There's a lot of similarities, I feel like, in that program and ours here at Southern Miss. Just the environment, the consistency, coaches, the tradition, you know, whatever. I think I feel that way, you know, so it's kind of, it's neat to, you know, you start your career at one place that that was a characteristic, an ingredient of a family environment, you know, things like that. And now, you know, you fast forward 27 years and, you know, you're at a place that has a lot of those same characteristics. So, but it's very, very special place, you know, goes, Boo Ferris, you know, he's the legend and a huge mentor to me, you know, the personal times I got to spend with him and his wife and go to his house and him just being a mentor to me and many players that come through there, you know, very special. And to have him on your resume when you're trying to get jobs going through, that carried
that didn't
a lot
hurt,
of weight.
Did it, Coach?
That didn't hurt at all. So, but Delta State's a great, great place and still is. One of my best friends is the head coach there now that we played together, Rodney Batts, and, you know, Mike Kennison. You know, I owe him everything. Gave me my shot to start coaching. Hall of Fame coach at the ABCA Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, just learned so much. And, you know, Bill Marchant was my coach. and you know, taught me a ton too. So great relationships. I have two guys in my hunting camp I'm in now. We played together at Delta State, so that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, it's a great university. Forgive me for getting the names a little mixed up, but which was the coach that got injured and coached from a wheelchair, yeah, literally?
That was my head coach, Bill Marchant. So, and
he coached from a wheelchair.
He did, yeah. The 2 years I was there, you know, it happened in 93 or 4. I can't remember which year. And anyway, in 95 and 96, he was the head coach. And that's when Coach Kennison, Mike Kennison, came to be his assistant at that time. While I was there, and then Coach Marchant retired after 96. We went 53-8. We got beat out by Kennesaw State in the World Series, who ended up winning it all. And, you know, so that was – he kind of went out on that note, and then Coach Kennison started as a head coach in 97, my first year of coaching.
Look, 50-win baseball seasons at Delta State, not really all that unusual in a sense.
That's almost as old as you, Bob. It's crazy. 53?
Almost, but not quite.
That's not quite.
We're visiting with head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Special edition of the Eagle Hour. Thanks, Coach. And we'll continue that conversation on the other side of a short break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we get ready for Thanksgiving, got a very special guest in our studio today, hour-long conversation with Christian Ostrander, and so grateful that he would join us. Coach, you were talking off-air, and you said you took a little what you thought was a kind of an unusual path to where you are now. Talk about that, if you will, sir.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at head coaches probably throughout, you know, let's say head coaches at top 50 programs of in Division I baseball, I would think my route would stick out as kind of an outlier. You know, one that, you know, not because I started at a Division II school, that has nothing to do with it at all, but did start at a Division II school as a graduate assistant, then ended up being full-time, you know, there at Delta,
well, that's Delta State.
At Delta State, correct, and didn't know what I was doing. You know, I get thrusted pitching. I was in charge of the pitchers in 98 and beyond, and I mean, I'm 2 years removed from playing, and I look back at that, and I'm reading books and just trying to figure out how I'm supposed to coach a pitcher, you know. And but we had some successful teams, and I grew a lot, learned a lot, you know, working alongside Mike Kennison, you know, Hall of Fame coach, and you know, we were successful too. You know, we went to back-to-back World Series my last 2 years there, and you know, then I get a call from Keith Kessinger that just got the head job at Arkansas State University in the summer of 2002. And I think I'm supposed to do this, right? I mean, you know, that's the next thing. And we had a young child. My first daughter was 2 years old, and my young oldest daughter was 2 years old, and Allie hadn't been born yet. So we go up there, spend 4 years there, and again, didn't know what I was doing, but learning, growing as I went. With Keith, a pro guy, you know, played professional baseball with the Reds. His dad, Donnie Kessinger, you know, just a baseball family. So I learned a lot from him, you know. So I had 6 years with Coach Kennison. I had 4 years with Keith. And I kind of got out for personal reasons. So my first 10 years of my career, I was an assistant at the college level. Took a huge leap of faith. And I left. I went to Gulfport High School as a head coach. Doubled my salary, you know, real quick by doing that, and it wasn't about money, just being a better husband, father, being present, and, you know, stuff like that. And at that time, I mean, you know, I'd be lying to you if I said, hey, one day I'm going to be at Southern Miss. I was just trying to be a good husband, father, provider, whatever. So did that. And when I got to Gulfport, things started changing for me. I could feel some things change. And I ran the offense in the third base box, plus doing the pitching stuff, and just got a feel as a head coach, albeit high school level, just managing people and stuff like that. And didn't realize it then, but look back on it and knew that was a very important part. So there 2 years, then I get a call about Jones County Junior College. Somebody said, hey, man, you need to apply for that. Well, earlier in my career, I've been burnt, you know, didn't get a couple junior college jobs, wanted them. And I thought, man, you got to know somebody. And I said, no, they want it wide open. You know, Jesse Smith, the president up there, they're looking for somebody with no ties to it, is what they told me. I said, all right, what the heck? I got Division I experience and, you know, this and that. Send my stuff in very casually. Lo and behold, I get the job. And it's usually how it works, right? When you want something bad, you don't. When you right. kind of just see where you're at. And those 8 years, really 7.5 years at Jones, were huge transformational years for me as a coach. Again, running the offense in the third base box, still calling pitches. I became a better pitching coach in my mind during those years because I started thinking in terms of offensive stuff too. Mm. And now it's in the last 10 years, 11 years of my career, at this level, it's kind of – I see that, the fruits of some of those labors. And it's just hard to explain, but I became a better pitch caller, I think, you know, with that experience. So I was there 7.5 years. I left in December of 2015. I got called by Greg Goff, who was the head coach at Louisiana Tech, who's now the head coach at Purdue. He called me up. I have a prior relationship. We coached together in 1997 at Delta State. And he wanted me to be his pitching coach. He lost his guy to DBU. It was the second time he's approached me on it, and, you know, something shook me that time. It was I didn't have any intentions of leaving, but my gut was telling me if I want a chance to be a head coach at this level, at the Division I level one day, I need to get back in it. Yep. And a lot of prayer, a lot of talking with my wife, you know, just tough. Left a really fun place. We built that program at Jones into something that I was very proud of. In fact, the year I left, you know, I was there the first semester, that spring won a national championship. And I knew I was leaving a good team. Chris Kirtland did a phenomenal job of carrying it on, you know, when I left. And, you know, but that was tough at the time. You know, I leave a place that you get a – you know, 3 months ago I was there. Now they went in a national championship, but that was gratifying to me as well. You always want to try to leave something better than when you got there, and I felt like we could say that. 2 years at Tech, 1 year with Goff. After that year, we made a run to the regional in 2016 at Mississippi State, won 42 games. Greg was got the head job at Alabama, wanted me to go with him. Something my gut told me no, and my wife thought I was crazy. A lot of people did, and I interviewed for the head job at Louisiana Tech. That's the same time they interviewed Lane Burrows, and I wasn't looking that route at that time for various reasons. With Alabama, I didn't feel like it was right, and just moved my family. You know, my oldest daughter was good. That had been her third high school in 14 months or 16 months, whatever. So we ended up. Graciously worked out where they hired Lane. Lane wanted me to stay as associate head coach, and they wanted me to stay, and it worked out. So I was there a year with Lane and consider him a brother. You know, touch with him all the time to this day. And then Coach Barry calls after, you know, the summer of 17. And it was a no-brainer. It was easy. It was – but I will tell you this. I went to my oldest daughter who was going to be a senior, and I told her, I shut the door, and I said, this is – you tell me right now, if you say you can't do it, I'm not doing it. And, you know, and she said, let's go. I support you. And so she sent her to Oak Grove as a senior with no ties. So we packed up and came here and been here ever since now. So whatever, going on eight and a half.
That's the right priorities.
Yeah.
You want to turn the job down for your child.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. They would have done it in a heartbeat. And because it's not about that, you know, and I've learned that.
And one thing you told us off air, like you didn't have an agent. You know, you're not, you're being you know, you're being influenced by your family and your ties. And I think that's such a unique aspect and something that I would praise you on. And I wanted to go back to something you said a second ago, how you learned pitching or learned better as a pitching coach by understanding offense. Can you just unpack that a little bit?
Well, you kind of, you know, so when you're calling an offensive game, standing in third base box, you kind of, I would choose, you know, you would kind of make decision based on what pitch is likely to be thrown or based on count and stuff. And so I got a better perspective also by calling the offense what the hitters are thinking. And a lot of what I do today, I'm sitting there, I'm reading gestures, swings, you know, a head nod, a smile, you know, a puzzled look tells you a lot as a pitch caller that they didn't expect that, or that's what they were looking for, or whatnot. So it's a chess game, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot of things. Now, it goes back to what your guy can and can't do, obviously, but when it kind of matches up with that, and there's some very strange calls sometimes that are hunches that this guy's fixing to cheat to this pitch, and I feel like I grew in that. I didn't think in those terms when I was just a pitching coach all those years. So once I became an offensive guy plus the pitching, you just kind of develop a little differently. So 100%, I feel like it helped me a ton, no doubt about it.
And I'm sure you would say you wouldn't change anything about your journey to here now to Southern Miss.
Not a bit. I mean, like I said, it's I think my route, if you look at the top 50 Division I, you know, baseball coaches, you know, that my route's probably a lot different than most. Not that there's one right way, wrong way, or whatever, but to get out 10 years in college, to get out and go to high school because of you believe that was what's best for you at that time and your family, people said I'd never get back in college. And I said, okay, well, then I won't. I mean, if that's the path, and then go to JUCO and then leave there and, you know, get back in the rat race of Division I. You know, so, but no, it's, I'm very thankful to say I feel like I'm where I'm exactly supposed to be.
Well, you know, there's breaking news on this show, actually. I don't think the Southern Miss fan base knows how much we should be thanking your daughter for willing to come to Hattiesburg, or we might not have ever had you, Coach.
Well, she's an eighth grade teacher at Oak Grove Middle School right now for her third year, so she's a blessing, and both my daughters. But no, I mean, I think, you know, I think a lot of folks lose sight of that. They chase the wrong things, you know, and I feel like I can look back on it. I never chased. I would just put my head down and try to be the best I was wherever I was at, and not really worrying about what's next. Now, honestly, never really thinking about what's next, and you know, and just go from there. And when I took this job, I had a 5-year plan in mind, because that 5 years would coincide in 2022 when my youngest daughter would graduate high school. Then I knew I could be, you know, whatever's best for me, could do it. But I swore to them, you know, those 5 years, we weren't going nowhere. We're going to stay right here, you know, and stuff. And it just, you know, and that was a crazy summer in itself. But it was crazy how it all lined up, for sure.
All right, we're visiting with baseball coach Christian Ostrander, special edition of the Eagle Hour, and it'll continue after this break. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Pre-Thanksgiving special edition of our program with Christian Ostrander, the full hour on the Eagle Hour, and we're very grateful to Coach for taking the time to come to the studio and talk to us. We really do appreciate it a lot, Coach. So we got through the, you know, the history of what led you here, and then now you come to Southern Miss, and how many years were you here with Coach Berry?
I got here in the summer of 2017 to, I guess, through 2000. So 6 seasons, or 18, 19, 21, 22, yeah, 6 seasons with him. And, you know, so 7 years or whatever. I think this is 8.5 here or something like that now. So 8th season here for me. But, yeah, but, you know, our relationship went before that. We knew each other. Obviously, my time at Jones, sending some good, decent players here, Andrew Pierce and Ryan Miltons and Mason Irby's and stuff. And, you know, from there, and just had a relationship with him for a while. Obviously, not the relationship we have now at that time, but a lot of respect. I obviously had a ton of respect for him and still do.
Something you said caught my ear in the previous segment. You said that when Coach Berry reached out to you at Louisiana Tech, it was a no-brainer. And Louisiana Tech's a fine baseball program in its own right. What was it about Southern Miss that made it a no-brainer?
You know, I guess for me, most of my career has been in Mississippi. I knew about the tradition at Southern Miss. I mean, I've always said it. You know, I said it for many years, even when I remember I was at Gulfport in 2007 and 2008, you know, a little I know 10 years later I'd be getting to coach at Southern Miss, but you know, that was like a dream job for me. That would be my one that was I'd really covet, you know, and would love if that happened. And it's funny, like, you know how in these cell phones, these old ones, you got to go back and, you know, ask all the passwords and stuff. And one of the password questions, my wife found it when we were back here. And she said, what's your dream job? And it was Southern Miss. It's what I had on it years ago.
That's cool.
And, and it's just very, you know, that was eerie. It gives you chills a little bit.
Yeah. Gave me chills.
Yeah, but that's, you know, and now being in the middle of it, it's a great fit. You know, I'm humbled now. I'm thankful. This is, you know, top 25 program year in, year out, with the great fan base and great facilities, great people, great history, great success. Coach Berry, a legend. You know, are you kidding me? I mean, this is like him. You know, but I'm grateful. I'm having a blast, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be than here right now.
How many times do you walk out on that diamond and you say, just kind of like look around and look up and be like, you know what, I got here. You know, not in an arrogant way, obviously, but like, you know what, my skills got me to this moment.
You know, I've never been one to allow myself to think about it, you know, enjoy much, you know, with it, the successes and, you know, dog piles and stuff. You're proud at that moment. Then you're thinking about the next, and you're thinking about the next one, the competitor in you. And for me, yeah, there's times, Dima, you know, especially when I'm out, you know, walking or jogging around the park, and I do it intentionally because I want to see it. Hmm. This means something. You walk around it, you see the stands, you see the tradition of excellence, you see the roost, you know, the people that are there and what this program means and stuff, and you know, motivation, because this is a responsibility. You know, so for me, that's what's so exciting, to have that responsibility fall on you as the leader of the program to keep it where it needs to stay and grow it as high as it can grow.
And the program just got better and better and better each year that you were here, Coach. And you tell me if I'm wrong here. I thought the program has been great for a long time. Don't misunderstand. It was World Series and all that. But I thought that weekend when LSU came here, and you had that Kennesaw State, Army, LSU, and you lose the first game and come back and win that tournament. And I don't know that in my years of going to sporting events, including NFL games in Washington, that I ever experienced a more electric, exciting atmosphere. To go back to that weekend, and what was your impression of it, Coach?
Well, we knew Army, you know, game one against Army. You know, obviously I'm the one that watches all the video on their hitters and trying to have a plan of attack, and I realized, like, oof, you know, these guys are
tough.
They're going to be a handful there because they're disciplined. And you better be disciplined against a Tanner Hall. If you're big swings, he's going to eat you up. And I thought, okay, we'll see how this goes. You know, they're going to have a good approach. Kind of knew that. And they had a good arm on the mound, who ended up going to Virginia the next year. Or I believe that's right. And being one of their weekend guys. Anyway, tough game. I think we win. Low scoring shutout, I think. 2-3-0.
2-0.
2-0.
And that sets you up for a winner bracket, which LSU had to earn it against Kennesaw, if I remember correct, game one.
Right. They came from way behind to beat Kennesaw late in that game.
Yep. And game two, Waldrop was on the mound. I know, you know, whatever. A lot of people don't want me saying that name, but, you know, whatever. It's, you know, and he found a groove, and he kept it right there. We had a nice commanding lead, a solid lead, not commanding, but a solid lead. And we all saw it evaporate in that ninth inning. And, you know, on Landon Harper, bless his heart, you know, it just didn't fall for him. They hit him. They beat him. And, you know, that was a tough night. I remember getting home that night knowing we had it – right there. You know, not that you want it. You still had work to do, but much rather be 2-0.
Yeah.
And trying to go to bed that night, man, that was tough. And then we're looking at, we got to win 2 tomorrow. We got to beat Kennesaw tomorrow morning. We got to, you know. And I remember going to bed that night, how hard it was. I remember how hard it was waking up that next morning. But I remember thinking to myself, and I'm sure all the other coaches would say the same thing, you had to put your feet on the floor, and you had to go, and you had to say, let's do this, you know, let's get this done. And Riggins throws a gem. Did he go 10 innings, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was 10 innings, which is crazy. You know, little did we know how important that was.
Yep.
And saving arms. Win that game on a walk-off.
Yep. Sergeant.
You know, adrenaline, whatever. All right, get another chance at LSU. They you know, they robbed you, or they, you know, took your heart last night, you know. And I can't remember all the details of it, but I do remember our guys competing their tails off. And I remember Justin Storm, kind of an aha moment for him, you know, in his growth and development, where he tasted it. He was in it, and he was not going to let me take that ball out of his hand. And he did it. He saved arms and stuff, and that sets you up for the next day. And going to bed that night,
you felt a lot better.
Oh my gosh! I mean, the difference in 24. I mean, it was, when I tell you, I was about as low as you could feel as a coach, you know, and disappointed that, because we knew it was right there. And then the next night, going, you know what? We can do this. You know, our boys just went out and competed hard today and fought and grinded out 2 great wins. Momentum's back in our side. And we got to go earn it tomorrow. And I couldn't wait to wake up the next day and get to the park and see how it all unfold and what a game. I imagine y'all enjoyed it as fans.
It was unbelievable.
It was exhausting to me. I was very tired, but you know, mentally. But just the back forth. I mean, it was it was special. So I take it back to, you know, in that ninth inning with Tyler Stewart out there, we brought in the inning before, and he got Jacob Berry to ground out or whatever it was. And I say, all right, buddy, you know, 3 outs, you know, and Lord, he did it. You know, dude hit a laser down third. Danny backhands it and throws him out. I'm going, all right, then what's his name? Trey Morgan.
Yep.
Roll over, a sinker away to second base, 2 outs. And then Jordan Thompson, I believe it was.
Yep, struck out.
I'm just telling catcher, I think Blake or whoever it was, you know, fastball middle, fastball middle, fastball middle. That's all I said. I think it's called 4 of them, because his ball was one he was throwing hard and it was sinking. We didn't have to try to put it anywhere, let that go. So that last pitch after he swung it, just the thing to me that sticks out, obviously the embrace with Coach Berry and our coaches, to see our guys dogpile, but really to see the fans.
Right. Mm.
That was right. I will never forget that. And we're going to give it back to them, you know, another time. We're going to get that opportunity again. I believe that with all my heart here at the Pete. But obviously we did it the next year at Auburn. But, you know, that was really special.
I'll have to confess, the Montenegro family is yet to forgive me. Their parents were sitting with us when Gabe hit that 2-out ball that really broke the game open. And his dad was videotaping it, and I'm right behind his father. And when I see the ball get past the second baseman, I kind of lost it. I grabbed Ponch and just started shaking him. So to this day, they remind me that special moment on their family's videotape is up and down because of me.
That's awesome.
But I couldn't help it, Coach.
Yeah.
He didn't really mind, I think, when it was over. It was such a celebration.
That was neat. That was a neat time. Neat time.
And then next year, like you say, you go to Auburn, you win that regional. Mm-hmm. And is that really what elevated the program to the next level, Coach?
I mean, I think that's hard to do. It's just it's hard to win regionals, you know, because they're going to all be really high quality teams, and baseball is a crazy game. A lot of things, you can do everything right and not get rewarded, you know, sometimes with it. So, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the program's been doing great things for many years, and we put a few together. And, you know, but it goes back beyond that to me. I mean, you know, 21, I remember that group of relatively new guys coming together at the end and being a tough force, kind of like what we did last year, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, so it's fun to see the growth, and the expectations are high. But, man, that's – That's why we do what we do. We're right. competitors, so yeah. that's what you want.
Couldn't have ever watched a grittier baseball team than that one last year, Coach.
I agree.
They were like sandpaper. They were so gritty.
That Sun Belt Championship game was unbelievable.
It was just incredible. Yeah. The opponents haven't forgotten about it yet.
Sure, they haven't.
We're going to talk about the present and the future as we continue our conversation with Christian Ostrander. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Special edition of the Eagle Hour. The best shows always pass the fastest. I mean, we're almost done here. But
I was just thinking that we could go on for 2 hours, you know.
We could keep Coach here for the whole week if he'd be willing to stay. But he's probably got other things to do besides talk to us.
Yeah.
Coach, I guess it's no secret to you how much all of us associated with this show love the baseball program. We take quite a bit of ribbing about the amount of time we talk about baseball on the Eagle Hour, but it's just because it's just the culture is so wonderful. The kids are so awesome, and the coaching staff is so accessible, and everything about it, the community embraces the program. So could you have ever envisioned being the head coach of such beloved baseball program as this one?
I trusted that, it could be a possibility one day. Like I said maybe earlier, I never really approached anything in my career trying to get to a place, just trying to be the best I could be at the place I was at. And it kind of works itself out. So all I can tell you is this. I mean, it is a dream job. I don't know what I've done to deserve this, but I'm thankful for it and very humbled and, absolutely love the challenge, the task of being the head coach at this program. When I say challenge, I say it in the best positive way you can, because the challenge is trying to elevate something that's already great. And, that's not easy
to
do.
That's tough, isn't it?
It is. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I guess we got to go to Omaha every year, but which I'd take that. But, just try to keep doing what those before me did so well. You know, Coach Barry, Coach Palmer, Coach Denson, Coach Taylor. I mean, they created something here that's special that everybody loves, this community loves. Y'all just said it, how much y'all love it. And that's a huge responsibility. Myself, my coaches, our players, and they hear it every day. That's a narrative we talk about nonstop.
Well, when you lose a game in March, 5-4 on a midweek, and Eagle Post goes crazy for everybody's job, that means that they have high expectations for the baseball program.
Now, Coach, I'm going to ask you this because I'm already hearing this. Mississippi State, first home game, midweek. Got to win it. And I've told the guys that are saying this to me, look, I'm going to just tell you now. I'm not speaking for Coach Ostrander. But Coach Ostrander uses early season midweek games to get his pitching staff ready. Mm-hmm. I suspect that's what he's going to do, and he don't care who the opponent is.
No, I haven't even thought about that. I couldn't even tell you what our rotation is going to be yet.
But you're going to pitch a lot of kids early in the year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, by design, I think that's been the recipe. And then you find the groove. You find, the 2022 pitching staff was one of the only ones in my career that I could say that about what you thought, how you started is about how it ended. And that's hard to do. And that was arguably one of the best pitching staffs in the country. And statistically, it was the only one ahead of it was Tennessee. So that was, you had it and stuff. So, and I think we're going to have a fine pitching staff this year. I think it's going to be ultra competitive. But I'd be lying to you if I knew exactly which piece is going to go where right now.
You got to find out, right?
That's
right. You've told me before the only way you find out is put them out there under the fire.
That's exactly right. So it's and that's what's fun about it. That's what I love about the pitching coach side of it. Now as a head coach, still doing the pitching, but is that there's an answer And sometimes they're really easy to see it, and sometimes it takes a little bit. But we'll find that answer. And I think I know what that puzzle looks like finished. We just got to figure out how to get it together as quick as we can.
Coach, one of our favorite guys on the team is Travis Creel. We all think the world of him. Why does poor Travis just catch heat every time things aren't going perfect?
You know, I don't know. I've heard this said many times that they talk about the offensive coordinator and the batting coach at Southern Miss are going to catch more flack than anybody. And I don't know. Travis does a great job, man. He is a Southern Miss lifer.
To the bone.
As a player, loved it. Infectious and charisma. Coaches that way. Our players love him. He's doing a fine job.
Yeah, the coach kids really like him, don't they?
They do. They do. Yeah. I'm very fortunate to have some quality human beings coaching with me. You know, between Travis, Lad Rhodes, Ben Brewer, Keller Bradford, and Danny Lynch, and Carly, she's the glue of everything, and her husband in the weight room. I mean, we got very lucky, very lucky.
Will Danny Lynch still be involved with the team this year?
Oh yeah,
he will.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's with us, and I'm. You know, I'm trying to keep him as long as I can. I don't want him to go, but I don't want to suppress his growth as a coach either. So, you know, Danny's going to be a good one. And
he's going to be a fabulous coach. You know that.
Yeah. I hear he's getting penciled in the lineup when Louisiana comes into town, right?
That guy's going to be talked about when you talk about ULL for a long time.
I don't know that there's ever been a bigger icon of Southern Miss baseball than Danny Lynch. I mean, my word.
It's possible.
Yeah, he loves this place.
Yeah,
he does.
People love Danny Lynch, and he's just a super, super nice guy. Coach, 30 seconds left. Quick message to your fan base as we're less than 2 months away from another season.
Yeah, I think y'all are going to really enjoy watching this group of young men get out there and compete and represent the black and gold. I know this, and I'll speak on behalf of all of our coaches. We absolutely love this group. Their character chemistry is tremendously strong right now, and that's only going to grow. And I think they're going to be hungry. They're ready to go out there, and you know, we'll see how it all unfolds. I couldn't write the lineup right now or tell you who's my weekend rotation is, but I think we got a lot of good pieces.
Coach, I think I speak for Demon when I say I can't think of a better way to spend a day before Thanksgiving than visiting with you, sir. We're very, very grateful for you coming out here and spending a full hour with us.
Well, I appreciate you both and appreciate all y'all do, and thank you for having me.
All right. Want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a safe, wonderful holiday with your family, and we'll all be back come Monday. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.